Here's another outside the box. Going back to get to the future. Today's topic is trust in land, land in trust. In a previous outside the box, I talked about how humans have lived 99% of their existence on common land and at most 1% on individually owned land, mostly just during the last 200 to 500 years. For example, native people held all land in common when Europeans came to what is now the United States about 400 years ago. However, not all land is individually owned. Governments own some, often a large quantity of land that's partially unrestricted and open to all. There are also land trusts of common land, usually owned by nonprofits, where the public is welcome or the land use is shared among several or many individuals. There are two kinds of nonprofit land trusts. One is a conservation trust. No people live on the trust land. It's kept in its natural state, but is available for anyone to visit, enjoy, and learn from. The other kind is a community land trust, where people live in homes and share the resources and care of the land. I lived on a community land trust in Monroe, Maine, for 23 years. The land trust I lived on, called Common Terra, was, and still likely is, a nonprofit holding about 175 acres and included up to 7 households. When I lived there, each household had an exclusive leasehold of about 1 to 2 acres and shared the remaining land with other tenants. There were restrictions on what could be done, either on common land or individual leaseholds. No spraying of poisons or disrespectful treatment of the environment. No overuse of resources without permission from others on the land, etc. We all held leases for 99 years that could be renewed. The lease allowed us ownership of the quote-unquote improvements, anything that was done to the land. That included houses built or bought, gardens, sheds or other buildings, wells for water, and anything else we did to make the land more habitable. We did not own the land, the nonprofit did, but we could sell the improvements. Property taxes were based on having a house on 1 to 2 acres for each homeowner to pay, plus a separate tax bill for the remaining land. One goal of the land trust was to build community. We did come together for potlucks about every 3 months, and we generally, though not always, had good relationships with others on the land trust. We had group meetings to manage and preserve the land. However, people were caught up in their own lives. We didn't usually develop the personal connections we could have. Another purpose of the land trust was to eliminate the profit motive whenever any of the houses and other improvements were sold. My partner and I bought a shell of a house, did a lot of work on it, and then sold it 23 years later. We calculated the original cost, the cost of improvements made, depreciation to the house and other improvements, and an inflation factor to come up with a selling price. The point was not to sell the house for a profit, but instead for what we paid for it, what we put into it, and what we took out of it. Sadly, because real estate prices have skyrocketed in the last 5 years or so, I do not believe that policy has been followed in recent sales of houses on the land trust. Sellers have set prices, probably somewhat lower than what could be found in the rest of the real estate market, because a buyer would not own the land on which the house sits. But they're not selling the house and improvements based on what they put into it and what they took out. There are a few other community land trusts in Maine and on Wabanaki land, but they're not a popular way to reestablish common land for people to live on. The ethic of owning Yes, the ethic of owning, having complete control of where a person lives, has established itself in the past 10 to 20 generations. That's likely to continue, although awareness of the benefits of living on common land is growing, I think. Would living on a community land trust appeal to you? I'm Larry Danziger, realizing that living on common land was never a problem for me.